if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune in to the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show on Monday from 12 to 1 p.m.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
Piccinese, senza padroni.
What it is, drawn in dog, malatesta.
Drop!
This is for the people, 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 this is for the people. And this is for the people who were never heard. It's a voice for the voiceless, a toast for the toastless, a smoke for the smokeless, for those who on the train but are coachless, for those who do the farming but are foodless. We this, believe this, eh? This is for the people who are never heard, cause we have so much more to say and no one gets to hear. Tiptoeing through this life and we driven by fear. This is for the people who are never heard. And this is for those with chains on the feet, sitting scared to move, y'all, we scared of defeat. And this is for those who go nonstop, nurturing the children harassed by the cops. It's like fuck the man, he has served a few. In this world of vertical madness, what are we to do? Is there a time served for the people never heard? Remember the coming years like they're already gone. When desperation conquers reason, it's a treason to behold. On a self without knowing, yo, we're feeling a mode. Contemplating survival and it's something so old. This is for the people who were never heard. Cause where everything will never be, stifled from our true potential, we could be so much more. But the sphere culture reigns on us and it ain't accidental. We scared of each other, steady keeping us from our basic essentials. But if I am you and you are me and we share knowledge, come and we pulling strength from one another, then we wouldn't need these managers or masters. These fuckers sucking on us like cancer. We are never heard cause they never asked us. They wouldn't like the answer. It's a hush hush, been silence for years. We ain't living through our fears, so fuck your careers. And this is for the people who are never heard, cause we have so much more to say and no one gets to hear. Tiptoeing through this life and we driven by fear. This is for the people who are never heard. And it's making me feel funny like a bad remix, but it's something we can fix. And these tricks are for kids, and this is my bid for another society. Living horizontally, what it be, wanna be. Constantly thinking of another way to say we could do better. We all have ideas on how shit could work better together. What is like a lost love letter? So much good intention, but it's never delivered. A misconnection, options never considered. I'm saying it now, cause of broken people, we can't be so. This is for the people who are never heard, say.
This is for the people, 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 this is for the people. Hey, hey.
Come no, e cazzo, trovo in dog malatesta da San Francisco.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Anarchy Show. My name's Linda and I'm here by myself today. My fellow anarchists couldn't make it in today. On this show, we're going to be talking about borders and specifically the anarchist position of no borders. But starting off today, I've got something which Barbara sent me, which is a thing called Great Moments in Anarchist History. And it's about Kate Sharpley assaulting the Queen. In 1917, Queen Mary was awarding medals in Greenwich, England, for British soldiers killed in the First World War, the medals being presented to their surviving female relatives. A 22-year-old woman, said by the press to be under the influence of anarchist propaganda, in other words, an anarchist activist, collected medals for her dead father, brother, and boyfriend, and then threw them in the Queen's face, saying, "If you think so much of them, you can keep them." The Queen's face was scratched, and so was that of one of her attendant ladies. The police grabbed the woman and beat her up. When she was released from custody a few days later, without being charged, she was scarcely recognizable. The woman was Kate Sharpley, who had been active in the Woolwich anarchist group and helped keep it going through the difficult years of the war. She worked in a munitions factory and was active in the shop stewards movement. Her father and brother were killed in action, and her boyfriend was listed as missing, believed killed, though she suspected he had been shot for mutiny. Anarchist libraries in London, England, and Berkeley, California were named after Kate Sharpley. And that information came from katesharpleylibrary.net and Wikipedia, so that's where you can go to find out more about Kate Sharpley. Also, to start off the show today, I wanted to say a few anarchist slogans. The passion for freedom is stronger than their prisons. And there's a big movement for anarchist prisoners. And especially in Greece, there's been a lot going on with the anarchists who are imprisoned. Also, One Direction, Insurrection, One Solution, Revolution. Coming up soon, I'm going to be playing an interview I did yesterday with Richard Kidd, Dr. Richard Kidd, who spoke at the Stand Up for Refugees rally in Redcliffe Place at the top of the Queen Street Mall. Yesterday was a rally and march. There was a fairly good attendance. Could have been more people. A lot of people said they were going on Facebook, but many of them didn't turn up. And there's another rally for refugees on the 21st of this month outside Peter Dutton, the Immigration Minister's office in Strathpine. So before I play this interview with Dr. Richard Kidd, who was asked to speak about Doctors for Refugees and the Border Force Act, I'm going to play a song by 2P and Stem Master, and it's called Border Force Facts.
2P, next Primos. Somebody gonna say something?
Beware the things you mention in the interview, cause the leaders have potential to imprison you. They made a criminal for doctors to report to media, but condition of detention sent us in the room.
I pray to my Lord and Savior, though we act to pray, don't judge our behavior. Cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, no proud to shout it. Cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame?
I'm a doctor and the son of Vietnamese refugees fleeing their enemies, seeing our friend disease. Things are different to the original agreement done by Malcolm Brace in the 80s and the 70s. Stupid laws to attract the boy, doctors have the careful patients when they swear upon the Hippocratic Oath. Even Roman Polo wearing country club, attending doctors gutted to the job, so the gag order has to go. Threat of prosecution hanging over them on the mainland, it's opposite. If we don't defend the children by reporting, we're in trouble. Why the different standards for the different children? 1984, here we go again. Locked up and definite, they're incredibly confused. Women and their children with themselves are too afraid to use a toilet where they were sexually abused. They're suppressing from the news so we get to see the truth. Asking, should we work in a system inspired the flaws to help the most vulnerable? Or does it make it sound a clever with a government that's so corrupt and a system so culpable? They're sending to hell, pretending to help, sent to stop the people smugglers, but apparently they pay without tax to turn a boat back, cause that is the end in itself. Delegating obligation to a poorer neighbors, giving money to corrupt politicians as a bribe. Security for private contractors who are barely qualified, some are beating up the prisoners inside. Tricked to the job, you're threatened, their truth is uncomfortable, so you shoot the messenger. Stopping out the treatment of a broken arm out there, arrested for running, died, though it's under out here.
I pray to my Lord and Savior, though we act to pray, don't judge our behavior. Cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, not proud to shout it. Cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame? We're on the wrong side of history, given to bigotry.
Refugees are persecuted in the country, put our savings into trips and vessels, then in Indonesia, no party to refugee convention. Can a worker study stuck there for a decade? That is why they come in, that reason you keep forgetting. You don't want to sing about the underwaters, do you show an interest in the jurisdiction? Also, if they're sick of suit, what about the people missing limbs? Where they're living in, pushing back to their city to get the whip again. Out of sight, out of mind, that is nonsense, for toddlers, not us, honor, against each other when the convention does not discriminate. Visa overstayers outnumber voter rovers, told me where the argument is not given weight. Said the economic immigrants are maybe, said there might be terrorists, well there may be, but you wouldn't know without the processing. And that intent was genuine until the stolen yet lately. You will stop bold, offer our solution to the other countries who will borrow. If they choose to follow, then you're having many countries playing hot potato with their hangers like the merely human cargo. Think I'm gonna bear, what about Pakistan and Jordan? We're part of a bigger picture, told me it's not important. Drop a warning, history will treat us poorly. We should be ashamed of it, knowing where the kids behind the bars are calling.
To my Lord and Savior, though we act depraved, don't judge our behavior, cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, now proud to shout it, cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor our pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame? We're on the wrong side of history, given to bigotry, depriving liberty, we're causing misery.
That was Border Force Facts by 2P and STEM Master. It's just after 10 minutes past 12 and you're listening to The Aniki Show on 4ZZZ. I'm about to play an interview with Dr. Richard Kidd, who's one of the doctors who's spoken out in defiance of the Border Force Act, and he spoke yesterday at the rally for refugees in the city, and it was also a National Day of Action, and so there were events held in Sydney, Melbourne, and probably in Perth as well. And I'm talking about no borders today, and anarchists believe in freedom of movement for all, anarchists being against governments, and we believe that people can make up their own mind and be responsible for themselves. Anarchism is absolute freedom and absolute responsibility. I'm going to play this interview I did now with Dr. Richard Kidd, speaking out in defiance of the Border Force Act and risking 2 years jail.
As co-founder of Doctors for Refugees, I was asked to speak about the Border Force Act and about what doctors see when I bring out the asylum seekers.
He was in prison to keep you free.
What effect has the Border Force Act had on doctors?
It's had what they call a chilling effect. There are many doctors who are afraid now to speak out, afraid to follow their duty. We have a code of conduct. The Medical Board of Australia has that, so it's part of our requirements for registration as doctors in Australia that we speak out, advocate for our patients when we see things that are wrong. But now we have the Border Force Act that seems to trump that, and if a doctor does speak out, he can be thrown in jail for 2 years.
How does it affect the Hippocratic Oath?
Well, it's in direct conflict with the Hippocratic Oath, because part of the Hippocratic Oath is that a doctor must do everything he can for the welfare of his patient or her patient, and the Border Force Act denies us that right, that duty that we have. There's all sorts of stories. There are difficulties being able to treat people properly, having the right equipment in the detention centres, having the right antibiotics and other medicines on the detention centres, having a system in which as the people arrive they're brutalised, and the medicines they have got are taken away from them before the doctors can see what medicines they are. Their prostheses are taken away from them. You know, if they've got an amputation, their artificial leg is taken away. Their glasses, their hearing aids are taken away from them and destroyed. And so people are robbed of the things that they need to be able to function fairly normally, and the doctors on the island have to start from scratch trying to work out what the problems are and what medicines they should have and what treatments they should have.
What's the worst case you've heard of?
Probably one of the worst is, as I mentioned, Ahmed Ghazali, where it seems that he got a cut foot, which is a fairly straightforward problem, and there may well have been some delays in him being able to see a doctor. The guards may not have let him see a doctor straight away. When he got to see the doctor didn't have the right basic antibiotics to be able to treat that infection. Infections in Papua New Guinea need to be treated with a couple of very simple antibiotics. Things like chloramphenicol or gentamicin. These things were not on the island. And he got very sick very quickly. The doctor wanted him evacuated urgently as an emergency. It took over 24 hours to get that evacuation to happen. By that time he was desperately sick and subsequently died.
And we hear more about the offshore detention centres. What about the onshore detention centres?
The onshore detention centres have been, up until now, easier to keep an eye on, easier to get information about the treatment. And the onshore detention centres are supposed to be equipped with the right medicines and equipment that you would find in any accredited general practice in Australia. There are problems, but the offshore detention seems to be much worse.
So, is there a problem with doctors speaking out?
I think there will be a problem with doctors speaking out because they will be afraid that they will end up in jail for 2 years if they speak out. And for some of them, that is going to be a very scary idea, that they could be put in jail just for speaking out.
But some members have spoken out, yes?
Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of the 40 that signed the letter to the minister saying, we will speak out. Go ahead and prosecute us now, because we're not going to stop.
Now, tell us, you work in Brisbane.
Yes.
And you work with children as well. What effects do you see with children who are who have been in detention?
Detention is incredibly demoralising. Children in detention often become depressed, like adults, and the rate of depression in children in detention is more than 40 times higher than it is for children who are just in the community in Australia. And so they don't grow well, they can't learn well, and they start developing self-harming behaviours and even suicide, children's suicide.
Do you have trouble treating them?
It's very challenging and difficult to treat them. IHMS had taken the position that an asylum seeker had no rights to any treatment that was better than the most rural, isolated, deprived area of Australia. And so, as happened with one young boy, I tried to get him in to see a paediatrician because he was having dreadful night terrors. He was waking up screaming, reliving some of the trauma that he had gone through, seeing relatives being killed, running for his life with his family through mud, through bodies. And I wanted him to see a paediatrician and be able to get specialised psychological help, and it was denied. The IHMS person I spoke to said, no, he's not got any right to anything that you wouldn't get in the most rural, isolated part of Australia, and you can't get that sort of service in rural, isolated parts of Australia, so he can't have it.
How do they come to that conclusion?
That's a good question. I haven't been able to get a satisfactory answer. What they say publicly is that IHMS meets the standards of an accredited general practice in Australia in terms of the detention centres and the services that they make available to IHMS children and adults. But it's not true.
How have you been able to help refugees on Manus and Nauru?
Doctors for Refugees has been able to develop a panel of different specialist doctors who help us, and when we get information about someone who's seeking some help with their treatment, we're able to put that information to the right sorts of doctors. And for example, there was an 11-year-old boy some months ago
who broke his arm, and we got to see the x-rays, and it was quite obvious that he needed a proper operation because the bones were overlapped and they were twisted. It was a really bad break. And Doctors for Refugees approached IHMS and approached the department, trying to get the right treatment done, you know, in a nice way. And they just refused and said, no, he's getting all the treatment he's going to get. So in the end, we went public with that. And eventually, Minister Dutton sent up an orthopaedic surgeon and a team, and the boy got the right treatment. He got a proper operation and his arm's been fixed. That's the sort of thing Doctors for Refugees does.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Richard Kidd there, founder of Doctors for Refugees, speaking to me yesterday at the Stand Up for Refugees rally in Brisbane City. We're going to hear the song now. You would have heard during that by Phil Monser. It's called Who Killed Reza Barati? And Reza Barati was murdered during a uprising on Manus Island. And yesterday people were calling out after Phil said Who Killed Reza Barati? People were calling out the Australian government and G4S, and I've got some information about G4S, which is a global security company, which I'll talk about after a few songs. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is the Anarchy Show with Linda.
Reza Barati, why did he die and who is guilty? Not me, says the politician in those closing borders wins elections. His death we do regret, but stopping the boats is why we said. Who comes to this country will decide. It's just too bad that young man died. It wasn't me that smashed his head. You can't blame me, now he's dead. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty? Not me, says the humble voter, Australian flag wrapped round his shoulders. He should have come the proper way, fuck up, we're full is what we say. It's not our fault he was on the run, if he wasn't locked up then more would come. I'm sorry that stranger died, if I knew him I would have cried. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty? Not me, says the company chairman whose corporation ran his island prison. For my stockholders, I do my best, returning the profits that they expect. I'm not responsible for what happened to him. I'm not to blame for every employee's sin. Any inquiry, you will see there are others complicit before it comes to me. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty? I said the big world leader who prosecutes the war on terror. I'm keeping the world safe for you. It's what leaders are appointed to do. The refugees that have to flee are not my responsibility. Don't point your finger at me. He was in prison to keep you free. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty? Me, says the TV presenter, that politicians wrap round their fingers. I report how they said he died, and anyway they won't let us inside. I believe in the public's right to know, but you can't take cameras where they can't go. I'm not responsible for any death. We report the news by what rates best. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty? Me, says the guard from G4S. They put our security under stress. It's what we were contracted to do. Cruel and dirty jobs for you. He should have accepted his fate, gone back before it was too late. Don't say murder, don't say kill. I was doing my job, you paid the bill. Who killed Reza Barati? Why did he die and who is guilty?
I've traveled far to find a better land, to find a better home. I can just call my own. I can just call my own. I fled with my life on a minefield track. Now I have nothing but the shirt on my back. Under cover of night, pulled away from the shore, the harbor of lights. I can't see anymore, I can't see anymore. My friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. My journey's been long, so long I've lost time. Sometimes I do feel I'm losing my mind. By ocean and land, they lock down all the doors, patrol down the fences. I've seen this before, I've seen this before. It's Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Ministers fight and gamble on lives. I'm dying inside. I pray for my time. When I'm a free man to go where I may, oh, I stay in. Don't turn me away. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island.
You're tuned to the 4ZZZ Aniki Show on 102.1 FM or streaming on 4ZZZFM.org.au.
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population, have to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators but not participants. Spectators but not participants. Spectators but not participants.
Ein Antifaschismusband, vielleicht wissen Sie das schon. Und dies ist ein Antifaschismuslied.
Oh, that after the war, the Nazis vanished without a trace. But battalions of fascists to dream of the master race. The history books, they tell of their defeat in 45. They all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. Say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Whilst Hess remained in prison, then the fascists they would beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize. So why did they all come out of the woodwork?
on the day the Nazi died. The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Chumbawamba there with the day the Nazi died, and the reason I played that, and I'm going to play a few more anti-fascist songs, is that over the weekend as well, there were a number of Reclaim Australia fascist rallies, which were actually very poorly attended. And Anna has written a report about that, which I will read after I talk about G4S. But before I talk about G4S, I'll just mention that doctors in the Royal Melbourne Hospital are refusing to return kids to detention. You heard from Dr. Richard Kidd there about how damaging detention is. I mean, it's damaging for everybody, especially damaging for children. So good on the doctors from Melbourne. And incidentally, the health minister in Melbourne fully supports the doctors. G4S is the world's biggest private security company, and it operates in over 125 countries, responsible for security services, managing detention centres and prisons. And there's been lots of complaints against G4S in Australia with the detention centres, but also in the UK. In 2010, there were a record 773 complaints made against G4S by detainees, including 48 claims of assault. And Reza Barati, who we played the song by Phil Monser, who killed Reza Barati, and G4S security guards claimed to be allegedly having been responsible for Reza Barati's death. And also G4S, but wait, there's more. G4S operates in Israel and Palestine, and in occupied Palestine, it's responsible for human rights abuses and violations of international law through the security and custodial services which it provides to the Israeli occupation forces. So G4S is a worldwide company, and quite an evil one at that. And if you search for G4S, or in fact if you search for No Borders, you'll find information on G4S.
came to the communists, and I did nothing to help them, because I was not a communist. Next I came to the trade unionists, and I did nothing to help them, because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to help me. That the only way the rise of the German Nazi Party could have been prevented was if its enemies had recognized it for what it was right at the start, and had smashed it in its infancy with the utmost force. But once we'd agreed with them, waving placards and chanting at fascists through megaphones accomplishes absolutely nothing. The only way to stop Nazi scum like the BNP is by physically confronting them and literally kicking them off our streets.
Was Race Riot 59 and Smash Nazi. Before that, Alerta, 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 Antifascista by Across the Border. I'm just going to read out this report from Anna about the fascist groups that held rallies around Australia, well, in some places in Australia during the weekend. So the United Patriots Front, Australia's leading patriotic group, held rallies as part of a worldwide Australia-US-Canada Day of Action Against Islam on Saturday. In Australia, Bendigo in regional Victoria was the focal point of the UPF because there has been a small but vocal local opposition to a mosque being built there. The leader of the UPF is Blair Cotterill from Cooma, who is a fascist who worships Hitler and thinks that everyone should be made to read Mein Kampf. Blair and his knuckle-dragging followers, some of whom have literally said, "I don't understand most of what you're saying, but I'm right behind you," along with other racists from the Australian Defence League and Australia First, descended upon Bendigo on Saturday. They came from Melbourne and interstate, and along with local Bendigo racists, they numbered a total of no more than 300. This number was significantly less than the 3,000 plus that the UPF had claimed were going to turn up. Local Bendigo residents, along with Melbourne Antifa, held a counter-rally promoting Bendigo as a place of inclusiveness and diversity. Local Indigenous spokespeople released a brilliant statement welcoming the Muslim community to their land and telling the UPF that they weren't welcome. The counter-rally had about 300 people also, but it was clear that locals supported the counter-protesters more as they made their way to the park where UPS were meeting. There was a heavy police presence which kept the rival groups separated by a bridge. In the end, it was yet another poor display by the fascist UPF. Around the country, the United Patriots Front held rallies in other states. In Tasmania, the UPF were outnumbered 10 to 1, with only single-digit numbers turning up to support the stupidity. In Canberra, 12 UPF turned up to the lawns of Parliament House, draped in Australian flags in support of their Nazi leader to denounce Islam. Perth were supposed to hold a UPF rally, but I've not heard anything. And finally, 19 racists turned out in Brisbane for a rather bizarre group photo. What was more fun about the Brisbane rally was the lack of local fascists present. With Bathurst on this weekend, they were probably like me. This is Anna, not me, because I'm not watching the V8s and Bathurst, except when I was at Anna's house. So yeah, in total, the racist anti-Islamists and Nazi United Patriot Front could only muster well less than 500 Australia-wide for their worldwide Day of Action Against Islam. Pretty fucking embarrassing if you ask me. I'm just going to play the beginning of the latest It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, because Franklin talks about borders, and it's actually, this show is called Erase the Borders.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
And here is the latest hero to fight the illegal border crime. Superman!
Thank you, Governor. We super friends had no idea that El Dorado was an illegal when we let him join our ranks. I'm on my way to deport him right now.
Yeah, yeah, good job with that Superman thing going on there. And how did you come to this great country yourself?
Sir, if you have a moment, I wanted to talk about how you got into this country.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, the show that believes that all cats are beautiful.
This is Pinky. He's a male cat, domestic short hair. He's available for adoption. He's pet of the week.
Boo-hoo.
I am your host, Stimulator, and despite the theoretical disagreements and sectarian shit talk that tends to take place between anarchists of different political stripes, there's one thing we can all agree on. Borders are fucking bullshit. Not only do these heavily militarized yet completely fucking imaginary lines restrict peeps' movements, often separating migrants and refugees from their families and loved ones back home, they also divide the world into motherfucking states. And alongside pigs, prisons, and armies, a shitty fucking byproduct of states is nationalism. The irrational fucking belief that peeps who live within the boundaries of your imaginary lines are superior than those who were born somewhere else.
God bless the USA! God bless the USA!
When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
Racist politicians and dipshit news pundits reinforce this stupid fucking notion by constantly harping on about the threat posed by so-called foreign terrorists and illegal immigrants.
I think there are cultures that are obviously deficient.
When you bring the people here, you bring those cultures here. That includes honor killings. It includes uncles raping their nieces. It includes dumping litter all over.
These crazy fucking rants in turn help to whip people into a paranoid and patriotic frenzy, which governments then exploit to siphon shit tons of cash to their homies in the security and military-industrial complexes.
Well, I just want to thank the chairman for working with me and adding $100 million to upgrade 10 additional B-1 bombers.
And that B-1 has been a great asset for the projection of power.
The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the F-22 Raptor, and...
Because the military-industrial complex is not two links, it's three. It's the military and the industry and Congress.
And despite all their fancy fucking talk about globalization and a borderless world, the international financial elite depends on strict border controls to help regulate global inequality, carving the world into markets and opening up individual states to the economic dictates of gangster capitalist institutions like the IMF, the WTO, and the World Motherfucking Bank.
We don't have free markets. Whether we're trying to sell our products to their citizens or we're trying to mine their resources, we need to be in that country for some reason. Therefore, we're going to talk about free markets, free trade. But what's really going on is we want our companies to get rich in your country.
These policies help reproduce a global apartheid system that keeps black and brown peeps poor and forced to slave away in mines and factories, manufacturing frivolous fucking shit to be shipped across the world and consumed by rich gringos in the West.
Just in the morning, you put it in your mouth. You can check your chin out, too.
Yep. Capitalism is a depraved fucking system, and its smooth functioning depends on obscuring this fact by dehumanizing its victims and making sure that they stay on the other side of the barbed wire. But capitalism's destructive fucking consequences, such as war, global inequality, and ecological collapse, are increasingly merging together into a clusterfuck of epic proportions, pushing the whole system to the breaking point. As a result, Europe is currently experiencing the largest refugee crisis since the Second World War. This crisis has been steadily mounting for years now and has already claimed the lives of thousands of migrants whose ships have capsized in the Mediterranean en route from Libya. But it was the heartbreaking photographs of Alan Kurdi, a 3-year-old child from Kobani, who drowned along with his mother and sister earlier this month while trying to flee the civil war in Syria, that has finally forced peeps in the West to recognize the scale and human cost of this catastrophe. Since then, a wave of refugees fleeing wars in Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and overlapping humanitarian crises in Africa have crashed into the borders of Fortress Europe. It has been incredibly inspiring to see peeps fight their way past riot pigs in Macedonia and Hungary, rip down chain-link fences, and literally smash their way through states in order to assert their human rights. It has also been fucking shocking to see the lengths that politicians will go to keep them out.
Children in Congo have no rights. The rebels come and they kill children. They rape children.
This is only a small taste of what's to come. Over the coming years, runaway climate change, even more destabilizing wars, and the crushing effects of poverty will force millions more peeps to risk everything to escape to the relative safety of the global north. Whether this historic crisis provokes revolution or a fascist backlash will be determined by the actions of the motherfucking resistance. Let's hope we're up to the task.
And that was the first half of the latest It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine by The Stimulator and submedia.tv. And if you go to submedia.tv, there's a video about how the show is made, and it's come a long way since 2012 when Franklin was making the show on my back patio. Last week I went to a screening of a film called Black Hole, and it's about the Maules Creek mine, which is down in New South Wales, and there's been a lot of opposition too. And you can find out more about that movie, and there's going to be another Brisbane screening hopefully at blackholemovie.com.au. Time for me to get out of here. Thanks very much for listening. I'm going out with a song called Mining Man by the Lurkers.
The mining company, nothing ever comes for free. So lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Mining man, we're gonna take you down. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Gonna run that mining man out of town. Lock the gate. From the Liverpool plains to St. Peter's back lanes. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Mining man, we're gonna take you down. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Gonna run that mining man out of town. Gas in the ground, lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Keep that gas in the ground, pulsing gas in the ground. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate.
Political prisoners.
both here and around the world. For the people incarcerated for fraud, stealing and larceny, and all other crimes involving property.